Hello and welcome to the Daily Elevated Show with Fabian. My name is Fabian Garcia, and today I wanted to do something a little differently. I wanted to revisit the last speech that I made at the Growth Talks networking event. If you don't know, we host a once a month business networking mixer over in Beverly Hills, and I'm one of the speakers every month, and I'd like to talk about my last speech because it's very practical, and a lot of people got a lot of good tips from it, and were able to utilize that to then expand their network literally right after we spoke, and the mixer continued. So I'd like to revisit that, show you my slideshow, and go through exactly how it is that I sort of, a small sliver of sort of how I became very well connected in Hollywood and Los Angeles for that matter. So with further ado, I'd like to give our sponsor a shout out, Freedom2O. So they are an incredible company that supports the values that we support. And if you haven't tasted their water, it's incredible. They also have these really neat sayings, like this one says, "You can't deprogram freedom." They also have other stuff than just water, like Liberal Tears Bottle Sprayer, which is pretty funny. And they are also coming out with electrolyte refreshing mixers that you can, like a powder that you can put inside water. So check them out, freedom2o.com. Code breakaway for 15% off your entire order. Networking is incredibly important because without it, it's really hard to succeed. And longer and the more time we spend behind a computer, the less time we spent out there talking to people, being in people's faces, and actually getting to know how to really affect someone's life and how to create long-lasting relationships and how to find business partners and just life partners in general. And we've lost a lot of that with our inability to talk to people in person, look people in the eye, which is something that I think we've lost, especially in the younger generation. They have a hard time even looking you in the eye, which is really incredibly sad. So what I did for this last speech at the Growth Talks event was I wanted to talk about a little bit about how I network and give some tips and tricks for everyone there and you as well listening, because you're about to see the slideshow. And if you're watching on Spotify, you were able to watch the video, Apple Podcasts, I'm sorry, you have to just listen. And if you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, or anywhere else, Rumble, that this is posted, you'll be able to see this coming up here. So the reason that I began to do this was to help people maximize their network, because everyone there is a business owner or trying to expand their business. So networking is incredibly important, but it's also not the easiest thing to do. So I told a bit about my story, and my story was, to make a long, long story short, I backpacked around the world for 5 years. Off and on, I was traveling everywhere from India to Dubai, Thailand, Colombia, Central America, you name it. And during one of those trips, I tried to climb a volcano in Nicaragua. In the middle of the country, there's an island. It's like a massive, massive lake. And in the middle of the lake, there's an island. And the island is just basically two volcanoes. Very, very interesting how that happened. But anyway, I wanted to climb one of the volcanoes. And I had just started walking again because I had broken my leg playing soccer. So I didn't have a lot of muscle in my leg. I was having a hard time walking. I had two walking sticks. I was carrying my water and my backpack with my food. So I told the guide, "Hey, would you mind helping me carry my backpack and my water because I'm having a hard time?" And he said, "Sure." So basically, the group was way ahead of me and they would have to just wait for me to catch up to them. And I felt really bad because, what was supposed to be an 8-hour hike wasn't becoming 8 hours. So I said, "Listen, we're almost at the top. Why don't you guys go ahead and meet me at the top, or I'll meet you at the top rather, so you don't wait." So he said, "Okay, sure." Well, in those situations, the trail that you actually walk through is nothing more than somebody with a machete that cut through all the bushes, and it's basically a jungle. It's a volcano, but there's jungle all over it. And if you've ever been in an actual jungle, then you know that there's no trails. There's nothing. It's just thick brush everywhere. Anyway, I lost my way and ended up being lost with no food or water because the guide had the water. And the reason why this happened was I had two choices. In my head, when I was lost, I said, I can either keep climbing up with limited energy that I have, and if they're coming down to look for me, then I'm going to be further away from the bottom and I'm going to be more exhausted. Or I can start trying to walk down the mountain now and then have a better chance of maybe running into them or finding myself all the way at the bottom. So that's what I did. And couldn't find anyone. I assumed they would send a helicopter and a search and rescue or a search and rescue team because we have an American citizen who's lost. None of that came. And anyway, was about to die, no energy, hallucinating, eating bugs, drinking water off the top of the leaves that hadn't touched the ground. That's a whole other story, how I actually made it. But when I got back, I wanted to write a book. And that book was about how to teach people how to travel the right way, how to overcome your excuses to travel. So I wrote the book, didn't know how to edit a book. So I wrote the editor of How to Write Books for Dummies and liked my story, gave me a good deal, edited it, and then I needed a publisher. Didn't know any publisher, so I came to Hollywood because I had a friend who knew a friend who worked in nightlife here, And I figured, well, all the publishers are in Hollywood, so I'm going to start going out there and meeting people so I can meet publishers to publish my book. And I didn't know a single person in Hollywood other than my buddy's buddy. So what I did is I know simple math and I know perseverance. So I made it my goal to go out every night and get five numbers every single night, five times a week. Now, I'm not saying everyone go out and do this. This is incredibly time consuming. At that time, that was my goal. It was to get my book published and I didn't have much else going on. So for me, it wasn't that hard. But this is what I did. Five nights a week, getting five numbers per night, because I knew that in 1 week, that would be 25 numbers a week or 100 numbers per month. That means that my network would grow by 100 people from starting from zero and just expand from there. You know, in what I told the people at the moment when I was speaking, because we have an hour of speaking and then we have an hour of mixer, rather 1 hour of mixer, 1 hour of speakers, and then another hour of mixers. And what I told them, I said, once we're done speaking, you have two options. When you go back to mixing with everyone, is that you can be safe and just talk to the people that you already came with or people that you know there, or you can take a chance and go up to a complete stranger and shake, you know, stick your hand out and say hello. So when you're going to networking events, typically you spend all this time getting there. You've taken the first step. The problem is once you get there, you shell up. So you've almost gotten the, or you've done most of the work. You just have to do the last part, which is meet other people. That's why I think walking up to a random person and just starting to talk to them is so critical. But you have to know how to look someone in the eye and you have to know how to talk about things and how to network. Because it's not a foregone conclusion that just because you spark up a conversation that there's going to be any synergy there, that they're going to like what you're saying, that they're going to want to work with you. This is like, it's almost like a first date. So because as business owners, you may become so inundated in your job that you may not be paying attention to what's happening around you or in other industries. And what you don't want to become is something that's known as an idiot savant. And I have this on the screen right now. So idiot savant, the definition is a person who has an exceptional aptitude in one particular field despite having significant impairment in other areas of intellectual or social functioning. So what I mean to say is that you can be spectacular in your specific line of business, but when you talk to people who are from other businesses or other walks of life, if you don't dabble and talk to people on a consistent basis and learn more and expand your horizons, then you're going to have a hard time talking to people. So one of the things that I personally do is every year I go to something called the Space Expo. Now, I love space, but this expo specifically, it's a trade show, and it's for people who are selling hardware and products and software to other space manufacturers or other you know, people in the aerospace industry. So it's super technical. But I go every year because I learn so much. I just ask questions. I go up to a random booth, and I just ask questions. And many times, they're very happy to talk to me because the people in those trade shows are already in that field. So they're all experts on it. But when I ask them questions, they love talking to me because they can explain how everything works and they tell me what's going on. So that's something that I do because I find it very beneficial. I've met people there that I've interviewed. And my knowledge about everything from radiation-hardened hardware, which I didn't know how it was made. I sat through a bunch of seminars there. To how they actually create metals that expand and compress depending on the weather. And then that's a way they can put that on like Mars rovers to limit the mechanical parts and use things like solar panels that have to open and close rather than having a bunch of mechanical parts that can fail at any point in time. You simply have metals that when they expand because the sun gets hotter, they do one thing and then the panels open. And when it gets cold, which means there's no sun that's going to hit for, you know, a few weeks, they want to close those panels. When it gets cold, the metal shrinks and then the panels close. I mean, just incredible things. So anyway, to go back to what I was talking about, you don't want to be an idiot savant. You always want to be talking to people and meeting people and seeing and learning new things. But you know, the thing about networking is that it's exhausting. It really is. It's like a muscle. You have to work it out in order to be able to do it for a long time. Because when you're out there talking to people and you're taking in so much raw information in, talking to people, learning names and things, it's a lot of information for your brain to take in that raw data, organize it into whatever structure it could organize it, and then try to store it. And tidbits of each of those person's personalities, what they do, traits about them, and also what they're talking about. So it is exhausting. And I wanted to talk about Mex, the person who I believe is the best living networker of our time and possibly in the history of the world. And that is this person right here. And if you can't see the screen, it's a picture of Donald Trump. Okay. Now, regardless of how you feel about his politics, there's no denying that the guy is a master networker. I mean, the guy was instrumental in literally making the UFC be alive today. Mike Tyson fights, airlines, real estate. So he definitely paved the trail for many things. And he knows so many people. I mean, even at this moment, he's 80-something years old, and the guy is literally flying around the country campaigning for presidency. Meanwhile, he's fighting something like 93 indictment charges. And he's speaking to crowds of tens of thousands of people almost on the daily. So that's pretty incredible. But he didn't just pick that up. He's been doing that for so long. You know, that's an exhausting, grueling schedule. If you're tired after a day at work and you come home, I mean, think about having that schedule in your 80s, okay? So if he can do it at 80-something years old, then what's your excuse? That you don't have a private jet or something? Now that you understand how important it is to network and what it takes, now I'm going to give you some tips on how to maximize your time while you network, because like I said, you spend all this time taking a leap of faith, signing up for whatever event. You might even bought a ticket. So now you're economically and emotionally invested in that. You get ready, you drive all the way, or you take an Uber. So now you're invested even more economically. You get there, don't waste the time that you have to network. You've gotten there. So let's do something for it. So you want to network for results. And to do that, you need to expand your knowledge of that person, whoever you're talking to, those people you're talking to, from a purely transactional to open-ended questions. One of the biggest issues people talk about why they don't network well is because they say, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I don't know what to talk about to people who I don't know anything about, right? But then that's when I say you're wrong, because you may say, well, I'm in insurance, they're in consumer packaged goods, or I'm in software and they're in construction. I don't have anything in common with them. But the thing is, you have to realize that in business, about 90% of what you do is the exact same. The only difference is that you have a different product. So most businesses have a cycle that goes development, launch, marketing, optimization, and growth. That's basically every business. The only difference is what product or service are you providing on the back end. So where you don't think you have anything in common with these other business people, or just these people in life, you actually have like 90% in common. It's just that one 10% that differs. So once you can understand that, then it may feel a lot easier to talk to people, because you don't have to specifically talk about what they do, or sorry, what they sell or what they produce, but what they do on a daily basis to then succeed in that last 10%. And one of the best ways, or I think the best way to do that, is by the types of questions that you ask them. Now you have two different types of questions. You have open-ended questions and closed-ended questions. Closed-ended questions would be something that require specific and often brief answers from a predetermined set of options. Meaning, if I meet you and I ask you what your name is, do you have to like wonder about what your name is? No, my name is Fabian. Well, what do you do? You know, I do this. Those are closed-ended questions, so those are very slim answers that they can give, and you don't really have to think or take any time to shout those out. But the problem is when you only ask closed-ended questions, you don't really develop a true relationship or a deep relationship with that person. If you ask 2 minutes of closed-ended questions to someone, they're going to leave not really remembering anything of that conversation. Now, if you ask open-ended questions, then you have the ability to dive so much deeper into that person's life and yours as well, and to really figure out what makes them tick, what makes them successful, and really connect on a deeper level. And open-ended questions would be something that prompts individuals to think critically, reflect, and provide detailed responses. So, for instance, one of the examples I give is, instead of asking him, how's business? Oh, business is good. Right? It's a very simple question. Close-ended question. Compared to something like, what do you find that's working right now in this business environment that's helping you succeed? You notice how that is a completely different question. You're still asking him, how's business? But you're asking him, what are you doing in business that's allowing you to succeed in this current time, right? Not a generalization, but things are happening right now. Whatever is happening in your industry in that time or to the economy, like right now, what are you finding that's working for you right now? Things change. And someone may say, you know what? I actually found this amazing thing. And then they're going to go off. They're going to tell you everything. And imagine how much closer they're going to feel connected to you by having conversations like this. Because then they can ask you an open-ended question if you're asking them open-ended questions, because they may flip it and say, well, what are you finding? And now you have your ability to tell them what you're doing. So it leads to a great, great, great conversation. Then you can then utilize that relationship and then build on it. Another good thing is when you meet people out, you know, networking events are loud, they're often crowded, or there's just a lot going on. And you can make an introduction and meet someone, but to get to know them on a deeper level and even build more of a relationship with them, a very easy thing to do is to ask them out to lunch. I mean, it's literally that simple. And a lot of people can afford to get out of from behind a computer because we spend so much time behind it. It's nice to go out and be invited out to lunch. Now, this also works for dating, right? And ask someone out to lunch. Really hard to meet someone online and get to know them good, so just ask them out to lunch. But the thing is, most people actually don't know how to do that. And it's pretty interesting because you would assume that it's a really easy thing, but there are some hiccups in the road that lead to people say no, or just this lunch meetup not happening. And that is that, and the first thing that people don't know how to do to close, because these are your leads now, right? You're each other's leads, essentially. And you want to close a lead, which is get them to lunch, to figure out more about them, to maybe create a business relationship, find a business partner, get some insight, get a mentor, whatever it is that people don't know how to pick a time. Here's what I mean. A lot of people use what I call the blind dart throwing method. And it goes like this. Hey, I'd love to connect. Are you free on Monday? And they may say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm actually completely booked that day. Oh, okay. How about Tuesday? Tuesday work for you? You're closing your eyes and you're throwing darts, trying to hit a bullseye of when they're free. That's an incredible amount of texting back and forth for two busy people. The more they say no, the less excited you are to ask about the next date. So instead of doing something like that, let's optimize that entire process and just send them a text that says something like this or on the phone. My times that I'm free are Wednesday, Mondays, and Thursdays, 5 to 10. Do any of those times work for you? Now, how much easier is it for you to pick out a time that you already know you're going to be free and say, oh, you know what? Actually, next Thursday at 6, I'm free. Oh, perfect. Okay, let's do it, right? You make it easy for them to say yes, and then you have a much better chance of getting them to say yes. I mean, very simple things, but many people don't do this. And they do the old close their eyes and throw a dart, try to hit a bullseye when they're actually free. The other thing that I caution people to do is to pick a place in the middle of where you and they live. Here's what I mean. If I meet you and we agree to go out to lunch, we find a dime, typically I know places around me, right? Like you're going to know the places around you. Now, if you suggest a place that you know that, oh, this place is really great. It's down the street from you. That person may live very far away. You don't know where they live. So if that person lives 20 miles, then they're probably going to say, oh, you know what? Yeah, I can't make it. It's a little too far for me, right? Do something that takes one step forward and that really shows them that you do things differently, right? And it's pick a place in the middle. And here's how it would go. Again, a text would say, I live here. So let's say, so I'm Fabian. I live in Hollywood. So I would say, listen, I live in Hollywood. I don't know where you live, but why don't we pick a place in the middle? Now you give them information and you said, I live here. So now they're thinking, okay, wow, this person actually is going to meet me in the middle. We're going to do equal work to have this lunch, this business lunch. So it gives them a much better propensity to say yes. So you're going to close that lead is what I'm calling it, with a much higher probability because you've taken these extra simple steps to make them having lunch with you very easy so that you can develop relationships, talk about things on a deeper level. Who knows, the sky's the limit. So put yourself out there. You have one chance at this life that you live. So don't waste opportunities. The more opportunity you waste, the less time you have to make use of the time that you have left. So do that. And I want to leave you with this story. And I also said this at the Growth Talks. I was at Big Bear. I snowboard almost every weekend. And I was up in Big Bear with some friends. And I went into, at the resort, they have this supply store. So they sell like gloves, helmets, a bunch of stuff, which is there looking. And as I was coming out, one of the workers looks at me and says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, what advice would you give someone who's 19 years old who wants to do well in business and well in life? And I was like, wow, that's really entrepreneurial and go-getter that he asked me that, especially being so young. And I said, I gave him my advice, which was do whatever the hell you want in life and don't let anyone ever tell you what to do as far as like what direction to take your career. You may fail, but you're going to have a good time doing it. And the worst situations that you have make for the best stories later on. And he says, thank you very much. And he asked my buddy said something. We go outside and I stop. And I said, that wasn't like, that really touched me. Like that was incredibly brave what that kid did. I went back inside and I said, hey man, listen, I do a once a month business networking event up in this massive mansion in Beverly Hills. And I want to give you a free ticket to the next one. And he looked at me and he said, wow, can I get your Instagram? And he saw my Instagram and, he was excited. He came and I said this at the event. So he didn't know I was going to do this because he was sitting in that crowd. And I said, the crowd is listening to me talk about this. And I said, and that young man is now in the crowd right now. And I had him stand up and everyone started applauding for him. And I said, that's what happens when you put yourself out there. You end up in places you would never have thought that you would be in because that one kid asked me a question. He put himself out there to network at his job to random people he didn't know. Now he's in Beverly Hills talking to all these multimillionaires and getting to know the people that he was wanting to know. I mean, think about how that's changed. I had dinner, lunch with him. And I mean, he knows more about business than most 30-year-olds I know. Incredibly talented and a hardworking individual who I hope this will change his life. And now he will see what success could be in whatever version that he sees it by meeting people that are in the industry or in different businesses, and he can become even a better networker. So I wanted to leave you with that story because I think it was incredibly timely and insightful to really prove that if you put yourself out there, you may fail many times, but then you're going to find those times where you really succeed and find business partners, find people who can mentor you or that you end up mentoring them, who knows. But that's how you network efficiently. Obviously, there's a lot more, but these are just some simple steps that you can take to make networking more efficient. Like I said, if you take the steps to get there, you pay the money, you travel there, make it worth your while and maximize your results because your goal is to network. So that's what I wanted to say. Again, I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Freedom Water, Freedom2O, because they allow us to do what we do. That's what I wanted to say. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Daily Elevated, and we will see you next time.